he eventually found a spot as a parish priest in the town of Royal Oak, a suburb of Detroit. He named the church the Shrine of the Little Flower after St. Therese. Coughlin's first taste of publicity came when he battled the local Ku Klux Klan, which was at the time harassing Catholics, many of them immigrants. He talked a local radio station into permitting him to deliver sermons over the air. He was a success almost from the outset. From 1926 until 1929, Coughlin confined himself almost entirely to religious topics, denunciations of the Klan, sermons for children, and diatribes against prohibition, all for an audience that didn't extend very far outside the Detroit area. His big breakthrough came with the stock market collapse when he took up populist economics. He shrewdly tapped into popular anxiety and economic discontent, and his broadcasts were picked up by more and more stations as a result. In 1930, he signed a deal with CBS to deliver 6 months of sermons on 16 stations across the country on his golden hour of the Little Flower. Almost instantly, Coughlin became the most successful political commentator of the fledgling mass media age. With over 40 million listeners and a reported million letters a week, he became one of the most powerful voices in American politics. His first victim was that ostensible conservative Herbert Hoover. In October 1931, in a fiery speech against laissez-faire economics, Coughlin declared that America's problems couldn't be solved by waiting for things to adjust themselves and by eating the airy platitudes of those hundreds of so-called leaders who have been busy assuring us that the bottom has been reached and that prosperity and justice and charity are waiting just around the corner. His favorite villains were international bankers and their ilk. Donations and letters poured in. In November, denouncing Hoover's belief that economic relief was a local matter, Coughlin made an impassioned case for government activism at the national level. He railed against a federal government that could help the starving of Belgium and even pigs in Arkansas, but wouldn't feed Americans because of its antagonism to welfare. As the presidential election loomed, Coughlin threw all his weight behind Franklin Delano Roosevelt. The left-wing theocrat swore that the New Deal was Christ's deal, and that the choice Americans faced was Roosevelt or ruin. Meanwhile, he wrote the Democratic candidate Roosevelt grotesquely sycophantic letters explaining that he would change his own positions if that's what the campaign needed. FDR didn't like Coughlin much, but true to form, he was glad to let the priest think he did. When FDR won, thanks in part to a successful strategy of going after urban Catholic voters, Coughlin concluded that he had been instrumental in getting him elected. When FDR invited the radio priest to attend the inauguration, Coughlin assumed that the president-elect saw things the same way.